is an act of God. We thank the Almighty God. We haven't had an incident yet, but like I've said several times, Ebola knows no boundaries. So we need to keep preparing for any eventuality. Our hope is that with all of us contributing to contain it in the three most affected countries, we should be able to bring it under control so that it doesn't spread further to the sub-region and to other countries out of the sub-region. But what we're concentrating now is on our own preparedness in terms of response, in terms of putting up the treatment centers, in terms of identifying the isolation centers, in terms of making the protective equipment and gear available to the health workers, in terms of training them for the eventuality that an incident could occur.
Some would argue that West Africa, with its open boundaries, or some might even say porous boundaries, that there could be some cases within Ghana that you just haven't detected.
No, Ebola is not something that can go undetected. I mean, if it arrives, you will notice. People will start dropping dead before your very eyes. And so there's no incident of Ebola in Ghana yet. There's none in Cote d'Ivoire and several other countries. But Nigeria was able very quickly to snuff it out. And I think that that was a very positive move that we all need to learn from, how they managed to track and trace and quarantine people and be able to deal with the virus.
We had the former Secretary General of the UN, Kofi Annan, saying that the West did not respond until it had crossed over to Europe and to the US. What do you make of those remarks?
I would agree that the initial international response was very slow. But when the outbreak occurred in West Africa, the thinking of the international community was that it would be contained like it had been done in the other areas. What wasn't realized is that this was the first outbreak that West Africa was dealing with, and so the disease was absolutely unknown. It continued to spread without people knowing exactly what was killing their relatives and neighbors. Then aside from that, the very nature of West Africa and the mobility of the people, you know, a lot of people are traders, they move from one place to the other. In addition, as because of our being a sub-region, we're promoting free movements of goods and services. And so we're able to travel across each other's borders for 90 days visa-free, you know. And so that created the conditions in which the virus could spread. Apart from that, I think that our culture in West Africa, when it comes to giving our departed relatives a befitting farewell in terms of customary practices of washing the body, laying it in state, also created a perfect environment for the virus to spread. And so by the time the international community realized that, hey, this is bigger than we thought, the virus had quite moved across, you know, the three affected countries, you know, in a very significant way. I mean, this should be like any emergency, like a war, like a disaster. Even though there's need for transparency and accountability, we must devise a system where these resources are made available as quickly as possible. But in the three countries today, resources are beginning to arrive. The World Food Program, I know, is airlifting some humanitarian food assistance. Treatment centers are currently being set up. Isolation centers are being set up. Vehicles, motorcycles, and other means of transport are going in there. There's more protective clothing being provided. But there's no need for us to duplicate each other and have more treatment centers when we do not have volunteers and health workers to treat the people in the treatment centers. And so it must be a balance of things, closing all the gaps that exist and make sure that optimally the resources are going towards containing the disease.